Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, we'll get to the show in a minute. Just wanted to give you a heads up on Red Men Plus, our subscription service. It's like Netflix for Reds. If you sign up there, you'll get even more Liverpool content, bonus features, documentaries, interviews, and tons more available both in video and podcast form. So yeah, redmenplus.com. Check it out. I hope you enjoy this show.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool, ruiner of weekends, breaker of hearts, return for midweek action against Ajax in Amsterdam in the Champions League, a competition that's going a little bit better than the Premier League, which is going to be a very, very welcome break indeed. I'm joined by Steve Plunkett and by Sam Walker for this one. Two wonderful smiling faces. We're going to guide ourselves through this. Ultimately, Sam, we're here. We could really do with winning a game of football. I mean, a good place to start. I don't know whether Amsterdam's really the way to reboot Liverpool's season as a fan base or not. There was a video doing the rounds of all the bikes being pulled out of the canals, and that's just going to be potentially loads of lads in Montenex gear come Thursday morning. If this doesn't go to plan, or if it really does, to be honest. This is the one we've been waiting for a long time. I kind of have to detach myself from the Premier League stuff a little bit and remember we are going all right in this competition so far. It is very much in our hands, at least qualification out of the group, and it should, if nothing else, be a good game of footy.
Yeah, that's it. Everything about the Champions League, the style of the way teams play, the different cities, the fan culture, it's just a total chalk and cheese from the Premier League, isn't it? Which really suits us at the minute for some reason.
I can't imagine the Ajax fans are going to be calling us murderers and telling us to sign.
It's more organic, isn't it, and authentic from what we've come up against. And, you know, for the fans, it's one of those places, you know, 45-minute flight from John Lennon. It takes longer for me to drive to work sometimes or to drive my kids to school. Yeah. So, no, fair play to them. I hope they all have a great time and stay safe. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's an opportunity. There's multiple different outcomes to this game that could suit us, which is helpful. The pressure's off us, really, in a lot of respects, in that we get two goals at this and Ajax don't. So I think for us going into this game, it's get the lads who've just missed out on Saturday back, and then just literally put it to the back of your mind and say, this is our competition, let's go and get it.
I agree with that one, and that's kind of where we're at, Steve. I think the weekend told me, certainly, that it reminds me a lot of 2004-2005, without getting into the Istanbul comparisons at the end of the season, we just couldn't put together any semblance of form in the league that season. You get a little bit of positivity, and then you'd lose and draw random bits and pieces, but the Champions League was a real glimmer of hope, and bear in mind that we end up getting through without that group in the most dramatic of fashions against the Olympiacos. But that's kind of what this is. It's not a team that's going to sit loads of men behind the ball, and you know it's not going to be like the greatest moment in their club's history playing against us and all that kind of thing. It's a team that will have ambitions to play good footy, ambitions to come up against us, ambitions to challenge us, and that's the beauty of Champions League football, is Liverpool get to test the best elements of themselves.
Realistically, for them to get through, they have to beat us. Mm-hmm. That's the way they're reviewing it, and we're really good at isolating games and taking them one at a time. And we've gone back to saying that when all the players are talking to the press. So clearly battened down the hatches and decided that's the way to go with it. And it is. It's a really welcome opportunity to get away from the rigours of the Premier League because, as you said at the start of the show, that's proven to be quite difficult right now. And there's a certain affiliation, absolutely, there's an affiliation with this competition. And we can be playing really badly in the league and go and have a blinding European campaign. And that almost happens every single time. So I, for one, and I'm sure you two are the same, looking at this completely differently to, for instance, the game at the weekend.
Yeah, no, it is that. And we sort of, lucky in some regards, you know, we kind of found our feet, getting the Rangers games out the way, was just the best thing that we possibly could have had in terms of how the fixtures have fallen, Sam. And it's left us, because of how Napoli have just destroyed Ajax in the meantime, it's left the league looking pretty good for us at the moment, or the group, I should say. So Napoli top on 12 points, Liverpool in second place on 9 points, and Ajax down there on 3. And that goes to the point we were saying there. They need this. They absolutely need to win this game, otherwise that's them. You know, that's a draw would actually kind of would do us as well. So it's going to be a bit of an all or nothing game, which I think will help the atmosphere, will obviously drive them on, and hopefully it leaves a world where maybe they can leave a couple of doors open going the other way.
Yeah, and when you actually look at the permutations of all the results, Napoli are through, so that will, and they played on Sunday night in a grueling game against Roma. So they're probably going to have to, by nature, is sort of, you know, think about what they do. God knows what happens in the game. They expect them to beat Rangers, but that looks after itself because they're through. So there's a couple of different dynamics here. Ajax have to beat us 1-0 or by more than one goal, because if we lose the game 2-1, good luck getting the goal difference back away at Rangers next week.
Yeah.
And obviously we're playing Napoli if we lose. And then if we lose 3-2 or 4-3, we would go through and having a better head-to-head. Because do you remember the whole, if we beat Napoli 1-0 or 3-1, it's the same thing. It's all head-to-head now.
Okay.
So there's only a few ways and Ajax can win this game, by 2 goals or 1-0. Any other win, and obviously 3 or 4 is different, but
yeah.
A 3-2, a 4-3, a draw, they're out. So we can go into this game not being too confident like probably we were at the weekend, but actually knowing that we don't need to, if we do concede first, we can calm down, we can build ourselves back into the game. There's opportunities here. And it would be weird actually, because a draw would just end the group, because it'd basically mean that Napoli finished top, we finished second, Ajax finished third. It'd be strange, wouldn't it?
I wonder whether there's a little bit where Jürgen Klopp might shake hands on that, and don't think he'd ever publicly say that. But, you know, what we've seen, the weekend on the back of the week that preceded it, this season is going to be a slog. And particularly the next couple of weeks, you know, we've got no idea. None of us has got any life experience to really call upon about what football's going to look like when it returns from the World Cup. Of them retaining in lockdown when it was the worst football anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
But everything's going to be a fight. You know, everything's going to be difficult. We're managing our squad as we go through it, and it's really annoying because it's meaning we're putting teams, we're fielding 11s that I don't think we would field in any other normal season. There's something, what Liverpool are playing for here is that Napoli game to go, well, we can decide how much of a go we want to have a go at them when they come to Anfield next time out.
Yeah, I think if we had a better result at the weekend, team spirits, momentum, and all of that stuff is in a different place. I'm not sure we can afford to go and play a pragmatic game and come away with a 0-0 and go job done. Some of these players need a boost from somewhere. Going to Ajax, getting a really positive result, meaning we go into the last game looking at potentially topping the group, because in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't mean a lot, because you have to beat everybody to win it at some point anyway. But there's a definite feel-good factor about topping your group.
There's years gone by. I think that last year, obviously, we had the perfect record coming out of it. We've had plenty where it's gone down to the last game because of that. You know, we've been a bit unfortunate or whatever. We've had others where we've let it slip and made it more difficult for ourselves. This is one where we could really do with not having to have another, or not having us have an ultra competitive game, but also, or rather, play for the right to, I say, if we want to go hell for leather against Napoli and really look to top the group, fine. But for me, it feels like we've just got to get it. We've got 3 weeks left before the World Cup. We just need to make sure that we bow out of that on as much of a high as possible.
Well, that's what I mean. This is a game that we get the result that gets us through the group. Yeah. Then we can afford to be picky when we play Napoli. We can afford to play with fringe players. We can afford to do whatever you want because we've gone forward and progressed through the group. I don't think we can sort of take the foot off the gas. Big setback at the weekend, and we need to recover some good feeling within the guys and some team spirit. So I kind of want to see Liverpool give a good account of himself and go there to win.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. It's just a breathing room we're playing for as much as anything else. Mm. They conceded 10 goals to Napoli across both of those games. We obviously saw them get absolutely trounced at home as well, and that, which is something Liverpool will hopefully be looking to replicate. But one thing of note with Ajax and their fixtures since the last Napoli game, they've returned to, you know, the top of the table, as you would expect, of course, in the Eredivisie. Having lost 4-2, they then went and beat Excelsior 7-1 on the 16th, and then beat our KC Waalwijk away from home by 4-1. So yeah, 11 goals they've scored since they last played in the Champions League. So that's, again, it goes both ways, doesn't it really, Sam? I'd be stupid of us to sit here and go, well, we'll be fine, because Liverpool are a mess this season. They're an absolute mess. There are no more that assurance we used to have of, I'll be all right. You could go, yada, 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 then we play City. Yada, 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 then we play another big game, and then we'll worry about that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, whereas at the moment, there's no guarantee that Liverpool will do anything. But, you know, I don't think anybody needs telling Ajax. We're playing for the right to be where we are in the group. Napoli look like they've absolutely pissed this group, and rightly so. They battered us. Ajax are clearly no mugs, but this is where we kind of, I don't think it'll necessarily prove Liverpool's level, but it's an opportunity to kind of remind Europe that the Premier League, Nottingham Forest, but we do mean business in this competition.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, coming back to your sort of the first point you kind of made, is our issue, one of our issues, and I think it comes down to this really when you look at it, is no football team ever does anything. In fact, no sports team ever does anything when they've got no consistency in their side. Yeah. Now, whether that be the team we had on Saturday playing 10 weeks on the spin or what, whatever it may be, you build a collectiveness and understanding. Our issue is we're changing the team by choice and by injuries. Every game is 4 or 5 changes. So going into this Ajax game now, we don't know whether it's the professional performance against West Ham with the little wobble, the City game where it's mega intense, the game against Rangers where it was just, you know, apart from the goal, we can see the controlled. The only thing I would say is that at home to Ajax, we were much better than they were.
Yeah.
And they were defending for their lives, doing all the sort of our last tricks. And eventually we got one just over the line.
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford to play that way against us. Mm-hmm. A bit like Rangers, they had to do even gamble a few percent, and look what happened, you get smashed. Yeah. So I do think there's a chance that at some point in the game, as long as we're not stupid, Ajax will have to just take that little gamble, and that's a big game changer against a team like who's got Mo Salah and Nunes, etc.
Yeah, no, I think fingers crossed for all that, and of course fingers crossed for Liverpool's squad availability. This, the injury thing, I genuinely thought we were past it. You know, funny, I was writing some agendas for this and for the podcast, and looking over some bits and pieces, and like talked in the podcast last week about how City felt like a rebirth, felt like the club's finally turned the corner, and I was at Forest and it was grim. It was just grim, the whole experience, the fans. There are nice examples of fans in every fan base, so I don't want to tar a hole, but the experience wasn't great, you know. We've left ourselves in this position, and I'm just bored of talking through the reasons why we aren't winning, because there should be no excuses not to beat Forest. There are excuses not to beat Ajax or whatever, but Liverpool just need a bit of luck. We could genuinely just do, Steve, with this run now, just no more injuries, no more new lads going out
injured.
honestly, like, you know what I mean, strep throat, you know what I mean, like, you know, he's got the thrippity bits, you know what I mean, like, just like, we could really do with a net positive in terms of lads, and we thought we had that last week. You know, where Curtis coming back into the team, we had Oxlade Chamberlain making the bench. We just need it, because that's hot take from the weekend was there's only so much you can cut out of a side before eventually it's going to be a very mediocre football team, and that's kind of what we felt like at the weekend.
Yeah, isn't it always the way when things aren't going well, nothing runs your way as well? You don't get the rub of the ball or the rub of the green.
But that was the thing about the penalty last week. It felt like we'd even gotten over that. You know what I mean? Midweek, we get a penalty against us and we save it. And you go, oh, cool. It felt genuinely like all the luck was back on our side. And then Thiago gets an ear infection at 4 o'clock in the morning before the game on the Saturday. Nunes has got a tight hamstring, and all of a sudden you've got your two teenagers playing up, up front.
You literally couldn't write it, could you? And I know we lots been made of unfamiliar partnerships in the team. You know, you look at Curtis Jones playing as a left-sided defensive midfielder at a pivot. Never done that ever before in his life. Difficult, because Carvalho was in front of him, and that changed that the way Andy Robertson wanted to play, for instance. So yeah, we could do with some familiar faces in familiar positions, and I think, you know, a good set of antibiotics later, hopefully we see Thiago take up that position. That changes our dynamic completely, because I thought Curtis Jones was brave and did well, but all he did was receive the ball facing his centre backs and give it to them back, because there was a guy showing for the ball. But Forrest went, we're just going to stampede you every time you get the ball.
Yeah, and it's just above and beyond that. Again, you go through it, it's like still no Konate, still no Matip. Then you add Thiago into the mix, and then you go, and it's the forward line thing. You know, we've changed to a formation because we haven't got enough midfielders. We've got loads of forwards though, so let's just put a formation with loads of forwards, and now no Jota, no Diaz, no Nunes. And this is the thing, we forget this sometimes, Sam, is that I think Harvey Elliott is a terrific footballer, and I think he's got his ceiling is incredible. I feel like Carvalho's on a very similar sort of path as well. Curtis Jones getting maligned, but I still think there's plenty there to come from Curtis Jones. But there just comes a point where all of a sudden you've gone from having, you know, our forward line where you've got Salah on the right, albeit a little ill-suited still to this formation, but there's a 30-goal-a-season player in your team. Bobby Firmino flying in the middle. You put Darwin Nunes in there, who's clearly on track to be a 15-20 goal. Jota Rodea, similar sort of ilk, to a bunch of kids who haven't really scored any goals at this level either side. And that's when you go from playing 4-2-4 to 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't, when 4-4-2 doesn't work, 4-4-2 fails spectacularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting, because I think I personally thought, I mean, I don't know where you thought coming away from the game, and I know you've probably done a final word on this, I'm not sure, but
I wanted to swear that one.
Oh, did you? No, but I thought Elliot played well. I thought he was bright. I thought he was all over the place, and and some of the stuff you said, I thought Jones was fine. Like, we had 75% possession. What do you want him to do? Run through the whole team? The issue for me, it was kicking the ball in the goal, and I'm sure we can go into that, but when you look at kicking the ball in the goal, oh yeah, but we only had four set pieces. Yeah, but we had a 20-year-old player on the left who's making his first full season in Premier League, a 19-year-old player on the right who's making his first full season in the Premier League, because last season was cut short. You've got a 21-year-old in midfield who's just come back from 3 months off, and you've got Fabinho, who's probably the worst form player in the midfield in the whole league, pound for pound. Okay, and then you've got, like, there's another interesting point. I guess I'll talk about it a little bit now, but it'll come to the starting 11s. Is I keep hearing people saying, get your best player in front of goal, Mo Salah. But when you put your best player in front of goal and the ball's there and you've got space, fantastic. But surely the game of football is about creating the balance where you score goals. Like, I keep seeing Mo Salah, stick Mo Salah front. He needs to be up front. But when Mo Salah's on the right, he absolutely puts the shit up other teams, and then it creates space for whoever's up front. When you stick Mo Salah up front and you've got no one on the right, he gets crowded out. So
this is the problem when you, and I said this, and I hate being this person, but when you change formations, this is what you do, because you're built and trained for a way of playing, and then when you change it, you can get short-term gains from it. You can find a way to make something work, but you're still kind of muddling through, and you open up more problems in the medium and long term. Of, like, to your point, I thought Harvey Elliott performed really well again on that right-hand side, but in putting Salah there, you're right. Then it's just, or you won't. I get it. Put your one really good player close to the goal. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But the plan is Salah's a break glass solution for me through the middle.
Agreed. Yeah.
And if you're doing that on a regular basis, because he is, look, get him close to the goal. We all saw it with Rangers. We all saw it, you know, Man City. Yes, absolutely. Get him.
But
close
there's times
to the goal.
And places for that, isn't he? Again,
but more, we've not bought for that. And I know we've got to contend with two wide players, left-sided wide players being out injured. There's nothing really to be done about that. But we haven't. If you were going to do that, you'd have had someone with tons of pace to play down the right, brought in, ready to happen.
Yeah.
We're juggling a bunch of random objects. We're a juggler that has left his balls at home.
Yeah.
And like, we've practiced with all these balls for hours and hours and hours, and they're going, shit, I've got to put a show on here. Right, grab a remote, grab this, grab that. And it's like, oh, it's so disjointed in what we're doing. Yeah, it's really annoying.
But I think we're at a stage where Like, and I think Klopp probably clearly has felt a little bit of pressure from this, either from Salah or from the outside world, or from internally with the staff. He's like, we're at a stage where it's like you've got two situations here now. You've got Mo Salah up front, who came on, in my opinion, as Chris likes to call, garbage time against Rangers. That was dead when it was 3-1. Game, set, match. And he scores a hat-trick. So that raises an eyebrow. Against City, obviously, it was fantastic what he did. But you're in two situations here. Salah right mid, you lose a tiny bit of what Salah can bring in front of goal, but you've got Nunes up front, so you kind of, you've got that balance. But then when you take Nunes out the side, you can't really play anywhere else, but Salah up front, like you've just said, who have we got on the right? So it's almost like you've got to decide between a lesser of two evils. Unless you put them both up front and go Andy Cole, Dwight York.
Well, no, but that, and maybe there's a bit to that, because again, you overpower certain positions. Yeah. But again, then you're going, Bobby Firmino, only really, you can only play Bobby Firmino through the middle. Yeah. And that at least gives you a substitute option, of course, but it's just we're crying out for somebody with if Harvey Elliott just had another yard of pace, yeah, he'd be absolutely unbelievable.
Perfect, yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel a bit sorry for Carvalho, because he's kind of my point on this. He is a second striker, he's a number 10. And we've gone, well, you can turn number 10 into an offensive 8, yeah, with a bit of work. And if you need to, you can push them further forward and you can have them maybe do a bit of a false 9 thing. But all of a sudden be like, you're playing left midfield in a 4-4 or 4-4-2. That's Mars, and you can see him now, he plays. He drifts inside. He doesn't offer us enough width from that side. It's all just a bit off, and it's covered up by goals, by the way. It's covered up, a lot of this is covered up, and that's kind of where we're at. This team is a basket case. We beat Bournemouth, he's got 9 against Bournemouth, he's got 7 against Rangers. This team has got goals in it, but it never feels like controlled. I'd rather us, and everyone I'm sure would be, rather win every game 2-0 than have the wild results that we've had along the way. But that's the big job now for the manager to figure out, really. Right, we're going to be talking about how he goes about solving that with what players are going to be playing. We'll do the injury updates before that as well. But we have got a trivia question before the break. Name the 5 former Liverpool players to also play for Ajax. Answers after this.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener, get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com, check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
Yes, do get involved. Redmen Christmas jumpers are available to pre-order now. I've said this on social media, but it's worth banging on about this. Get your pre-order in, because these are different to how we normally do it. We ordered a big stock of these, and when the stock's gone, the stock is gone. They fly off the shelves in a huge, huge way. And no, it's October. I know this, and you know this. It is October. Nobody really wants to think about Crimbo yet. We're all still picking our, you know, slutty pumpkin outfits out for Halloween next week or whatever we want. But you know, if you're the kind of person who likes to get ahead of things and likes to be on it and doesn't like to miss out on stuff, then head to redmenmerch.com and pre-order your Christmas jumpers. There's 2 designs. They're amazing. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous. I keep if you're wondering why I keep looking off uncomfortably to my left, it's because I'm basically eye humping the jumpers off to the side. They're great. Right, sounds. Name the 5 former Liverpool players that also play for Ajax. Edward Smith in the comments has got 4. He says, ooh, Suarez, Moby, Babel, Poulsen. He's put the question mark in, which means he didn't back himself enough there, to be perfectly honest. But 4 out of 5 so far. So the other one,
who did he go for again?
I thought that the second I saw that. Suarez, Moby, Babel, Poulsen.
Surprising that the one he's not got, and he's got Poulsen.
Yeah.
Surprise, misery.
The final one?
Lippmanen.
Yari Lippmanen. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't get Poulsen and Moby, I'll admit that.
Poulsen is a bit of a left field shout. And Moby, I think that's an age thing. It was before. He was just not
everyone looks at me when you say that, you know what I mean?
Sorry, Steve.
Bastards.
Everyone has their role on the panel, don't they? Yeah, you're like the Sue Ness, mate, bringing that experience.
You've got to ask where Paul Pogba was when all this was happening, haven't you?
Definitely. Yeah, shout, absolutely. So yeah, if you got that right, you're absolutely brilliant. Just one other slightly interesting shout in terms of that. The only other player to complete a transfer between the football clubs was Jordi Brouwer. It was a youth player.
I know him. I knew him, believe it or not. It's a story. Him and Damien Plessis, know them too.
Really?
Yeah, tired off camera.
Okay, so David, I mentioned his name, I think it was like last year, and it was a point where we were, like, if Fabinho was out or whatever, we had a midfield, a defensive midfield. In fact, it was the Spurs game, and it was like, where is our next Damien Plessis? Where is the 6'4" gangly lad who's playing for our under-21s, who's got something about him, but quite, maybe not quite enough to come in? Just someone you can drop in and just, he looks the part to come in, rather than us bringing these like loads of these like tiny scouts DMs.
We thought Ajaria was going to do it for a game or two, didn't we, in pre-season? Yeah. I don't know if he played the League Cup game, but it's mad, isn't it, how they just fall. But I looked at where Plessis was a while back, and he was playing like third division French football or something. But yeah, good lads, them too. It was when they were in the 21s when they were really good. Sorry, it was the reserves then, when they were really good. Nice lads. They used to knock about with Babel as well, with the, obviously the Dutch connection with Brouwer, yeah.
There you go. If you got that right, then you're a genius. Give yourself a pat on the back and drop a like on the video on YouTube as well. Okay, let's get a little injury update of where we're at. Jeez. Time of recording, 8 players, I know. 8 players out. As we know, Diaz and Jota are definitely out until after the World Cup. Matip, still no return date according to this. He shouldn't be too, hopefully too bad. He should be back before the World Cup break, maybe. Keita has been involved in parts of training, so there's a chance we'll see a little bit of Naby before the game, again, the break. Konate getting closer. Darwin and Thiago are the big ones, because obviously we know Art is out as well. Obviously, Thiago's ear should be fine, hopefully, by now.
No, you know, those infections are nasty.
Yeah. I mean, someone said, Chloe said that to me. She said, like what? She went, can I just ask you, like, what is that? Like, is that really a reason to not play? And I was like, if you've ever had an ear infection, it's like, it's horrendous. Like, because it's just it's like a pain in the middle of your head. You know, a brain pain, effectively, that you can't ease or make go away. You'll end up lying down with like a hot water bottle on your head and all that kind of stuff and painkillers and that.
All the stuff coming out your ear.
Yeah,
and
it can affect your equilibrium and your balance and all that kind of stuff. And obviously we know Darwin had a tight hamstring. Both of those should be available. And as we've said already, really, Sam, it's massive. I'm a bit annoyed how reliant we are on Thiago, but look, you're always going to end up reliant on boss players. But at this point in time now, this is what I'm talking about. There's a breaking point in this side, and it's. I think we can actually cope without Thiago if Fabinho was in better form, who we'll talk about again. Mm. But at the minute, with no Diaz, no Jota, you need Nunes fit.
Yeah, well, the latter is for me, Nunes, because I thought at the weekend, Thiago, yeah, of course, his guile, his creativity is great, but if you've got no one to pass to, who's actually making direct runs or, you know, battling with the defenders, it's difficult. I think Nunes, for me, is the one. The way he looked against West Ham, City, Arsenal, Rangers, he just looks a threat.
Yeah.
And in these kind of games, you just need someone to just go bang and whack one in or win a header, and it's like, oh, game on, go game over, whichever way it goes. So I think that's the big one. I mean, when Klopp said, you know, if we had played tomorrow or Monday, he probably would have been okay. You're just like, ugh, you're just making it even harder now, Jürgen.
Yeah.
I mean, the Thiago one, it's just, these things happen. Do you know what? After what we've just been saying, I wouldn't be surprised if he's just not quite there.
Because
they're horrible, aren't they? So, depending on how bad it is. But for me, Nunes comes into the team and makes a big difference.
Yeah,
massive difference.
We do. I mean, look, the one place where we fell foul again at the weekend, and it was it's not just who's starting, but it's who's coming into the games. And we had this, I felt the Brighton game was a bit like this as well, where like Henderson was only just coming back in. We had a couple of too many lads who, like Jota was similar, you know, Nunes, who were either overworked or lacking match sharpness. Curtis is an interesting one, and Ox is an interesting one for this as well. Look, neither of them are at the level right now where they're in our best team. They're not. But we're going to need our squad to perform to the highest possible calibre. Both of those lads are capable of doing things in football matches. Kurt had a good old run in the Champions League last year. Mm-hmm. He has had previously. We've kind of seen it with Milner. Like, in the last week, everyone's gone, oh, go on, Milner, sound. Yeah, I remember him. He's boss. I don't know whether I'd be starting either of Curtis or Oxlade-Chamberlain for this, but they've both now had minutes. Curtis on a full 90.
Yeah.
Ox, you could get 60 out of him if you really want. And that gives us a little bit of a positive, just about a positive selection headache.
Well, it is. I don't know whether I'd go Jones over Carvalho either. I don't know whether he's done enough to warrant that. The thing with Oxlade-Chamberlain is quite interesting. We get to a point where we're in front in the tie and Ajax kind of go, okay, we're out, and they start making changes, then we should match that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you bring your Ox on for Salah and you take Salah off after 55 minutes because effectively the tie's over. Whilst, as I said before, thought Curtis did okay, I think Carvalho's a little more fleet-footed in terms of able to beat a man and explode into space quicker. I think Curtis Jones, we've all talked about how long he hangs onto the ball. I'm not criticising him. I just think for a game where we might play a little bit more in terms of a counter-attack, it might suit us to play Carvalho over Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's just a horses for courses thing, because I'm not with the narrative that Curtis Jones is the worst player in the world, because he really isn't.
No.
But I just think it might be that you pick the team, well, we've got no choice with the bodies available. That might be one of the easier decisions to make.
The thing is, I think that's absolutely fine. And it's where I think Ox comes into the equation. Obviously, we saw him basically come in one of the attacking two at the weekend, which, I mean, that tells you where we were at, really, in terms of personnel. But he's one. The other option there is potentially Ox. Well, Ox from either side, to be honest, Tam. But we've seen him play from the right in a three. You know, he helped us big time last January when we were short of attacking options. Just a bit of pace. I actually kind of want to see where his pace is at, to be honest, because that's the only real issue with Elliot and Carvalho. Neither of them are lightning, you know, and having just someone who can stretch the game a little bit if needs be. And at 4-4-2-ish, I feel like it would suit Ox a bit, because he's not a guy who's going to score tons and tons of goals for us, but that's fine. Let him go and do Salah's running for him. Let him go and hug the touchline. Let him be 35 yards too far away from goal for a bit. I wouldn't be against Nunes and Salah going central for this one, and letting Ox be the out ball down the wing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think had we won at the weekend, you'd probably maybe think about, oh, we're looking, we're in a good spot now, going four on the spin. Let's have a go. Let's maybe try something. We've got an opportunity for the second half of the game or the Napoli game to right any wrongs. But I do think now, and I think the caveat with Ox is, if he'd have come on against West Ham for 20 or 10 and then come on and done 30 against Forest, you might have thought he's ready now. But I think he's probably still a game or two away. With Ox, I look at the rest of the season, the rest of the mid-season, half season, and I think we've got Ajax and three Premier League games that are important. In reality, Napoli and Derby aren't important to me, as long as we do what we need to do. So if we lose to Napoli, crap, because it's at home, scrape past Derby on pens and win the other four, I'll take that all day right now, shake your hand. So, like, I think Ox has probably got minutes in those other games where we can maybe say to Salah, look, sit out. So I think what he's got to do here personally is just go, like, let's get our best two centre midfields back in, Henderson and Thiago. Let's get our best front line we can put out in, which involves Firmino, Nunes and Salah. Probably Carvalho, and I think we go from there, to be honest. We get players playing who are in the best form now for that fit.
I totally agree with that as a notion. I think the only problem we've got is that everything we're seeing right now is being undercut by the sports science behind it all, and that's the thing we can't know, and that's the thing we're having most difficulty with. It's mad that Kurt went from, you know, cameo to playing the full 90. That felt like necessity as much as anything else. You know, but it means, I guess, that Ox could technically, you know, wouldn't be shocking if Ox did something similar, although we know we do need to be a bit more careful with him. Mm. We are still managing players, and we're managing through stuff, aren't we, Steve? I think your point there is right. Substitutions allow you to do this a little bit more. But there's probably likely to be one or two that we do kind of go, eh? But they will solely be down to the fact that, well, there's another game like 3 days after, and there's another game 3 days after that, and so on and so forth.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We try and second guess these team selections every week, don't we? Have we ever got one right?
Rarely.
Always a curveball in there, isn't there? Something that comes totally out of the blue. I didn't foresee Curtis Jones playing at the weekend, but there it is. He did. So I guess it'll be a case of who's fit, who's genuinely fit. You know, there's risk in playing Nunes because if he's got a hamstring, do you want him exploding into space behind the back four that are, for a team that's pushing up trying to win the game of football? If he's fit to play, he has to be fit to do that job properly.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't play him, and then you're in the realms of your three could be Salah, Bobby and Carvalho, which two of the three are part of that trident that did all the damage in Europe over the years. Yeah. And Carvalho is the unknown quantity.
Yeah.
So good for Carvalho, you know, these are the things that make your career.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's an element of risk in doing that.
It's just an interesting thing coming back up here where we've just switched the formation back to, you know, to 4-4-2-4. Keep saying it. Let's just call it 4-2-4. Away from 4-3-3. And it's given us a little bit more in terms of just attacking threat. And, you know, letting the good lads with all the energy and the goal threat do the pressing. It just makes you wonder we've got the three lads now in Fabinho, Thiago Henderson available. Jones is available. Ox is available, and Kate is likely to be available in the next week.
I know you're with this.
I wonder whether we do at some point whether we just switch back. And I think people, it's weird because now 4-3-3 is seemingly a dead formation in everyone's heads. But when you've not got tons of goals elsewhere, all of a sudden you're right. I agree with that. You know, you could have Salah, Firmino, and another down the left hand side. Nunes, if you wanted down that way, you could start Nunes, and you could put one of the other younger lads on that left hand side. You could put Ox in a front three with that and make do if needs be. I don't think they'll do it this week, Sam, but you know, all of a sudden we're not far off having much more in terms of midfielders than we've had all season, and we're really starting to look threadbare in terms of lads up top.
Well, if Kate has been looked after and he has been back a little bit and they've just looked after him, because they always seem to do that, and I think he was returned to full training today, wasn't he? So if he has two full sessions and Klopp thinks, I'm going to bring you on for 20 minutes here, just get what I can out of you while I've got you, that I can't see Kate in a two. I can't foresee that right now. Maybe I'm wrong. So I think you might be right there. And the way he plays is quite suited to that sort of quite aggressive nature, which might lead us back to the 4-3-3. What we might do is do it in game. So we might start with 4-4-2 or whatever it is, and then revert back once to get the subs on to get the best out of them. Yeah. I mean, one thing is we changed formation, didn't we? Was it after Ajax? Who did we play after Ajax? I can't remember, but I feel like we beat Ajax, but Nunes came off the bench. I'm pretty sure it wasn't 4-2-4 until we had Jota and Nunes together against Rangers.
We played Brighton, then Rangers, then Arsenal.
So I'm right in saying it was Rangers, right? Because after the Brighton game, there was all kinds of interest into what had gone on. Yeah. So Ajax haven't seen this system, and they haven't seen Nunes from the start either, so there's a few things here that they're going to be unknown about.
Yeah.
So that might work in our favour to start the game with as well, that they're sort of not really used to Bobby just being in that pocket.
Yeah, the big elephant in the room here really is Fabinho for me, Steve. Honestly, he's got something going on, and I don't know what it is. And the problem is, this is Liverpool, and this is this city. So I'm amazed I've not seen wild conspiracy theories around this yet. But he's not far off. You know, if he was English, there'd be all kinds of theories about his form at the moment. You know, but he's going through a torrid time at the moment. I thought he was brilliant against Man City. I mentioned this a few times. He was quite good second half against Ajax when we really battled for it. And that's about it. I just don't think he's been good at all this season.
He's played 186 games for Liverpool in total. It looks like he's played 11,186 games at the moment, to be fair. I think he's a player that suffers from who he plays with more than anybody else. Yeah. I've cut him some slack this season by saying to be a good number six, your 2 8s have to be at it. And I think he struggles when they're not. Dreadfully out of form, 100%. You would like to find a way to leave him out, but then players don't recover their form sitting watching games of football.
True.
Yes.
And I don't think away Ajax is potentially the game where you test that theory. So it could be Henderson, Thiago in a double pivot if fit.
And you almost like casually threw out there before, you said our best midfield too when you mentioned Thiago and Hendo before. Sam, it's just mad because he's played the fourth most minutes for us in all comps so far this season, Fabinho, behind Van Dijk, Alisson and Salah, and Trent's just behind him as well. Mm. And Trent missed, you know, had an injury as well in that. I just don't know what the best solution for Fabinho is. Logic says do what you've done with Van Dijk and just play him through it. Mm. Play him through it, because world class players are world class players, and sometimes they just need, they'll go through dips, but they need to play them their way out of it. When lads aren't great, you do have to pull them out the firing line and let them sit on the bench and do things and work it out, and then, you know, because you're never going to get a consistency out of them. Whereas truly top quality players have got the ability to sort this out for themselves. But the Trent actually falls into a very similar sort of boat here for me. Is the both? I think they're both doing their own heads in a little bit, and some of it might be hampered by the physicality side of things and having played so much. I think some of it is who's challenging them. Mm. You know, who's behind them? Yeah. Who's the next up and coming? I don't know. Like, I think Van Dijk fell foul of this at the start of the season. Well, I'm just going to play every game and then I'm going to go to the World Cup and nothing's going to stand in my way apart from injury. And I think Trent obviously got more of that, more fight on his hands, and Fabinho's got a bit of more fight on his hands as well to some extent, because he's not like a chew-in for the Brazilian team, is he? But I really, what do we reckon? It's the fast day. I'll start with you on this. What do you reckon on Fabinho?
He needs to come out. On current form, Fabinho may well travel to the World Cup, but he won't get games of football because there's other central defensive midfielders who wear Brazil shirts that are in clearly
Jesus
better.
Called Fred,
Well, I think Casemiro would be the go-to, wouldn't he? That if that's the level he's got to get to, he's got a bit of work to do before now. I just see a guy who's devoid of everything, and because he's lacking in confidence, he's lacking in energy, he's lacking in that willingness to step on the gas and make recoveries. There's too often he's caught the wrong side of the ball and your goal goes in and you watch it back and you say, well, where was Fabinho?
Yeah.
And that's when, and then Sam and I speak about this quite a bit off shows, that's been the problem with Liverpool's midfield, is you can get behind Liverpool's midfield and then the back four under ridiculous amounts of pressure because you just look up and there's bodies coming at you. And for me, if Henderson has got 60 minutes in him, then it's 60-30, Henderson, Fabinho, possibly.
Yeah.
I just think why I would like to see him play through and gain his form back, I don't have any confidence that's going to happen anytime soon. And there's a big risk that will cost you while you're waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
So I can't see how he plays if the two are fit.
Well, Redland here in our Club Legend Discord chat saying, when do we give Bajicic a try? I mean...
Derby.
Yeah, and that's the honest answer to that one, really, isn't it? It's a shame because obviously, Tyler Morton looks like he's having a really good time in the Championship at the moment. He did like a man of the match performance for Blackburn, and he was pulling strings left, right and centre all over the pitch. Hopefully that's something in the short to medium term, but not the immediate term for us. But this is the danger, and maybe there's something to that though about maybe he is it. You wouldn't want to ruin. You only get a first one really go at exploding into the first team, I think. And this is where Harvey Elliott had to really, really work even harder this season, because that enthusiasm where you're feeling vulnerable and you're bouncing off players and nothing can go wrong for you, that is a red that you can never have that. You never get that twice. And I hate this, when we're in bad form, you'd immediately turn to the kids. Oh, get in, play. Remember we did it with Sterling got a fucking standing ovation coming on as a substitute. It was the most pathetic thing that Liverpool have done.
True,
and we've
though,
done some stupid things over the years.
He's our saviour, isn't he?
Oh my God. And we tried to do it with Fowler in the 90s and Owen, we did with Owen, and it was, you know, God knows how we curtailed his career in a big way for doing that. But I don't know what the answer is here for someone Fabinho, is that clearly we looked and went, we need someone else who can do this job.
Yeah.
Someone who's a specialist in that role, who can bring a bit more physicality. He just looks off it. He just looks half a yard behind everything that's happening around him. He doesn't look aggressive. He doesn't look like... What I've loved, actually, about Virgil van Dijk's performances in the last 2 weeks, he's gone, fuck you, I am well better than you. Yeah. And he looks like he's really relishing, proving to everyone that he's better. Somebody's not managed to get Fabinho focused on that mission just yet. But, you know, I said this the other week, our midfield was like Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum, and we bought in Keita and we bought in Ox and we bought in Fabinho, and we brought a couple of, you know, not loads of other lads, but we brought in lads who should have been first teams, but the existing lads actually doubled down and redoubled and became better for it. Fabinho feels like, that's where I'm reaching for at the moment. Like, you just need somebody to come in and really say to him, you're not getting the shirt off me, it's my shirt. But at the moment, he knows he's going to play, and because there's really no other
alternative options. I actually think personally the two man midfield, and I said this to Steve the other day, is made for Henderson and Thiago in the way that they play. Henderson's clearly more comfortable now in the six. I don't know if he's ready to admit that himself yet. But just his own game, his experience, he's like Thiago, it's all up here, the first step in everything. It's, you know, we can blame Henderson and Thiago when we're in transition, it's frantic, but on the ball, when we're in control of a game, them two in that 2-6s seem to just work. And I think, like we showed against Arsenal, by the two stupid moments, we controlled the whole game for 48 minutes that first half with them two at the middle of it, and we missed them both at the weekend. But Fabinho, I think he suits a 4-3-3 better, but I think the beginning of the season has been so crazy that obviously it's affected his form. And I also think the way other teams play against, like when we play against City, he was brilliant. Why? Because he was cutting balls out. It was all on the floor. Yeah. Nowadays, you play most Premier League games, now it's physical battles, it's second balls, it's balls bouncing everywhere, it's dropping in between the lines. And I just think that sometimes when a team's struggling and your position's a really key part of it, you fall foul. And then we've had to change position, which is probably made Fabinho and Trent's position a bit different. And you probably lose an edge of their game for that.
Mm.
So I just think until we're ready to relaunch this attack of 4-3-3 again, I think we probably will see Fabinho second best, because I don't see him suited to a two-man midfield. I just don't.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting one. Let me know your take at home. If you're here live, you can use the live chat after the fact. You can use the comment section.
Just a quick point on that. I think when everybody's fit, we don't see 4-3-3 again, so it further complicates that for him.
I suppose transfers would affect that down the line, but that's obviously a different matter.
Another chat for another day.
Yeah.
Okay, very short break from us. If you haven't checked it out already, and if you haven't been made aware of this, we made it to 500,000 subscribers. Me and Chris Pajak sat down for a very, very special show, revisiting some of our weirder moments of the last 12 years. Wild. The comments have been great as well. A lot of people have joined us in the last year or two, maybe don't remember how this all started, but yeah, it's one of our favourite things we've done, and we'll give you a quick look at that, and then we'll pick our 11s for this game. Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Red Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Red Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Red Men Plus and making it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week, and a whole host of extra content as well. It's check out our 500,000 special available now in YouTube, on YouTube channel, and on all good podcasting apps as well. And if you want any of our content ad free, then head to redmanplus.com as well. It's been pointed out to us during the break, the good old chat about Oxlade-Chamberlain is completely moot for this week because he's not registered for the Champions League, which probably seemed like a very sensible decision when we were putting Artemelo in there after the transfer window. Keita and Ox not eligible for the Champions League, which it would means that, well, he's probably going to play at the weekend then against Leeds, if that's the case, and certainly makes us picking our 11 slightly easier, yeah. With less footballers. Go on, Sam, what would your 11 be for this one?
Yeah, I think obviously Alisson will play. God, imagine we didn't have him. I think Trent comes back into right back. I actually thought he probably should have played the weekend, so I think it definitely plays on Wednesday. I think it's going to be slightly too soon for Konate, mm-hmm. So I imagine it'll be Gomez and Virgil again with Robertson left back. I think he just goes again with Robbo at the minute. Although, did he play against West Ham? No, it was Simicast, wasn't it? Yeah, I think Robbo goes again. And then midfield, I think it'll be Henderson, Thiago. I think we'll have Carvalho from the left. I think we'll have Bobby behind Nunes and Salah from the right. I just think, balance-wise, that's the best we can put out. Unfortunate for Elliot, but I think we haven't got anyone else for that left-hand side, have we?
Yeah, that's it. And it's not going to be wildly different than that, I guess, for you, Steve.
Back four and goalkeeper, I would agree with. I'd agree with the two in the middle, but I wouldn't go with quite an attacking formation. I think you might see Elliot in the three, slightly advanced in the three. Mm-hmm. And then if he's fit, Nunes off the left, because he was prolific for Benfica off the left.
Yeah.
Stats are really good. Bobby in the middle and Salah on the right, because I think we're going to play more counter-attacking football against a side that has to come out and has to beat us. So why step your back line up and play yourself into trouble? Just get Trent and Virgil and laser guarded balls into the spaces behind them.
There's something to this game about, this is not a game you're going to have won in the first half an hour, I don't think, you know, because they've got it's all or none, you know. Don't get me wrong, if you go 3-0 up in the first half an hour, I just don't think Liverpool are set up for that at the moment. We're more likely, if we go to score three in half an hour, we're more likely to end up 2-0 down than 3-0 up. And I think this is one of those games where you've just got to go and have the ball and shut the cards. I wouldn't be against the switching back to 4-3-3 in this, because we've got the players there. I'd maybe consider someone like, you know, at your point, maybe Harvey in midfield, or if you depends how seriously you want to treat it, you could go Fabinho, Hendo, Thiago, and then you've got Curtis Jones as an option to break to freshen that up a little bit if you want to. Harvey Elliott as well. Will he change it? I don't know. But there's something to, and maybe leaving Nunes again, because if he's had a little hamstring issue, don't thrust him back into 90 minutes of footy. Have him for 20 minutes, half an hour at the end, when wear their stamina down, see how they're at, see how close the game is, because we do just need a draw here. And even if you're 1-0 down or whatever, a 20, 25 minute chase, throwing Nunes on full of energy and excitement, maybe something like that. I mean, you don't need to be 4-3-3 for that, by the way. That could still be Salah and Bobby, and you could persist with Carvalho and Elliot, or you can go Curtis from the left and Harvey from the right. Not 100% sure enough to put me bollocks on the line on this one, but yeah, I'd take Carvalho out and I'd put Curtis left of the four.
Do you think he's got it in him after playing a 90?
No, but but why not, you know, Carvalho can come in at that point. He's played quite a bit recently as well, hasn't he? So do 60-30 with them. Keep Nunes on the bench, so continue with Salah and Bobby up front, Harvey from the right, and then Hendo, Thiago, if they're available in the midfield.
Not going to be much difference, is there, between us, I think?
No.
The options are just not there, are
and
they?
That's why it's not going to be much different.
Simicast maybe is an outside shot, only because, you know, or unless he does a 60-30 with Robbo and Simicast.
And there's something where maybe you tie his substitution in with Nunez's, for me, where half an hour to go, you bring him on and you bring Nunez on, and then you just got, it's pure, it's nothing but delivery.
Is
a possibility. You can see a world where Simicast, Milner for Trent, and Nunes come on with half an hour to go, because he clearly has got his substitutes mapped out irrespective of how the game's going.
I think there's three pre-programmed every game now.
It's mad, isn't it?
And you've got a discretionary fund there of two that depend on game state, and less so at the moment because of how few players there actually are to pick from. The only other, you know, there's potentially interesting ones around Trent, for example. You know, could you just throw him on the right-hand side? Of the four, or the, whether it's four midfield or four up front, and just again do that similar sort of thing. Keep Milner back in reserve, or the opposite is Simicast on the left hand side. I don't know. If he does something wild, he's done something wild, and he's pulled. You know, we're just gonna have to sit back and enjoy that. But
be interesting in the Trent one. That's the most. I've never ever been a fan of moving Trent out of position. because we played 4-3-3, but if there's ever a chance to get someone high and wide with protection behind them, this is probably the system to do it. With the big fella called Nunes in the middle, Jesus, imagine how many crosses he could put in his head.
I mean, and another weird one, and again, this is proper out, this is like the realms of science fiction, right, is this, but you know, we played Milner left back for the season. He was our creator from the left hand side. So much of our play went through James Milner on that left hand side because he cut inside and he's got all the pitch to look across. He played a weird playmakerish role for us. You could do something. It's whether you put Trent on the right hand side or do you put him on the left and have that give yourself a slightly more options. That would be wild. There's no chance he's doing that for Ajax away. The issue whenever we do something though is that you take a player out of somewhere and put him in somewhere else, and it's like, where have you taken him from and what's in there? And it's like, great, Milner's playing right back now, but then what happened? James Milner's not going to be playing 90 minutes a game twice a week for the next three weeks.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that had Calvin Ramsey been a thing rather than a potential Ben Davies living in the basement type scenario, then that does give you options looking at Trent, because if he's that good and he's both really, really two-footed, as comfortable on the left and the right, then there is a world where you think he nails that side down and you push Trent further forward.
It is the possibilities there. It'd be interesting to see whether Ramsey goes with the youth league side or not, or whether we keep him in the match day squad for this, because obviously he's only taken his very tentative sort of first steps back. But he played in the Papa John's through the week, scored as well off the bench, so positive. It's just, this goes back to what you've bought for. It would really annoy me if we've changed formation and now we don't need an attacking fullback, but we bought an attacking fullback, and all of a sudden this kid's not defensively good enough to be in our team in the way that we're set up. But we'll have to see. Let's have a quick look at the other Champions League fixtures for just out of interest, to be honest. Tomorrow, Tuesday night, the early kickoffs. Salzburg hosts Chelsea and Sevilla host Copenhagen. The nighttime games, the 8 o'clock, PSG, Maccabi Haifa, Dortmund, Man City, Dinamo Zagreb, Milan, Benfica, Juve, Celtic, Shakhtar Donetsk, RB Leipzig, Real Madrid, and then the Wednesday games, Inter host Plzen, Bruges, Porto, Frankfurt, Marseille, Barca, Bayern, obviously it was Ajax, Atletico versus Leverkusen, Tottenham versus Sporting, and Napoli versus Rangers as well. Right, let's have score prediction, Sam. What do you think?
For our game or for some of them?
For our game. Three. Shit about any of them.
No. Well, it's interesting because there's some messed up leagues. I mean, City, there's a way where City get beat 1-0, 2-0 tomorrow and can go out.
I am here, by the way. Can finish
second, I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's a weird dynamic where us finishing second would actually be balanced.
But Rangers shocking Naples would be a draw. Come on,
Rangers. But no way. I think we'll win the game because I think Ajax have got they can't draw, so they, I think by that I think we'll win the game because I think Nunes starts, I think Nunes scores, I think we'll win the game 2-0 or 3-1 I'll go.
Yeah,
if Nunes doesn't play in any form, 1-1 for me.
2-0 to Liverpool. I just want one of those safe and steady performances where they'll have moments, but if we can just a couple of moments, just let Salah have a couple of moments, you know, hopefully a little bit of pitch to run into, and see what we can do. I'd like a stress-free time over in Amsterdam, if I'm being perfectly honest with all of you. It is the away of like all of our dreams, and it's finally here, and I genuinely can't wait for it. I'll have content around the game as well, so make sure you keep tuned to all the Redmen socials for that. I'm really, really, like, really excited about that. I have not been this excited for a Liverpool away, possibly my entire life.
You going over there? Yeah,
yeah, can't wait. Mate.
Lucky boy,
cannot wait. Right, Sam. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone who's joined us live. You guys are all absolutely amazing. Keep your 11s coming into the comments and your score predictions as well. There'll be a starting 11 prediction show ahead of the game as well. And there'll be a watch along as well. Chris is hosting the watch along from the studio. So, yeah, if you want to tune in with Chrissy Pajak, then you can do. And as mentioned, if you want to get all of our 500k special, it's completely free to watch or to listen to across all the platforms that I've mentioned before, so Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that good stuff as well. Right. Gents, thank you. Absolute pleasure. Hopefully the Reds can continue to be good in Europe, continue to pave the path to Istanbul before we go back to the crushing grind of the Premier League. See you all very soon. Ta-ra.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.